Well, I voted for him, you know, so why is he not a Green Bay fan? You know, so that was really the thinking behind it, you know. I jumped on his bandwagon, you know, a couple of years ago and voted for him, you know, so you know, for him to only go to the Super Bowl because Chicago's there, I thought it's not fair to me. You know, I'm a voter, you know, I'm a taxpayer, you know, so I want him to root for the Packers as well.
Based on your experience playing against
Roethlisberger
last year, what did you find, from your point of view, was unique about
Tommy Benning? You know, Ben is just one of those guys that just know how to get it done, you know. He's not going to always kill you with numbers and those sort of things, but when their team needs to play, you know, he being their guy, he can get it done, you know, and he makes a lot of guys, you know, look bad out there on the field during the course of the games with making guys miss who have free rushes and free shots at him. Or if they get to him, you know, breaking tackles and still being able to keep a play alive. And he's done that his whole career. And he has hardware to show for that, you know, two championships, you know, to be a young quarterback. And to have, you know, those accomplishments tells you a lot about what kind of player he is.
Charles, you've been to the Super Bowl before with the Raiders. How different is the feeling going with the Packers this time around?
You know, one of the biggest things is that, you know, that year with everything being pushed back, you know, because of, you know, 9/11, you know, we were, as soon as our championship game was over, you know, we were basically trying to get everybody's families together. Trying to figure out travel arrangements and the tickets right after the game. You know, we had a quick meeting, and we were on a flight, you know, basically, you know, within hours, you know, of that game. So everything was just kind of rushed. So I think for me, you know, that's the biggest difference, you know. But as far as team-wise, you know, I've never felt better about, you know, a team, you know, than I do about this team right now.
Charles, I know you embraced the leadership role. During the fall, it seems like you're addressing the team before and after games.
Can you become
a vocal leader?
You know, just as far as these playoffs are concerned, you know, I was fortunate enough to be voted one of the playoff captains, and you know, coach allowed, you know, the captains to come up with, you know, who was going to talk before the team, before games, and that sort of thing. And you know, the other captains kind of nominated me, you know, without any, you know, voting process. They kind of pushed me out there to be the guy to do it. And, you know, it was fine with me. You know, I feel like I played this game a long time, played it at a high level. I feel like the things that I can say to the team are things that mean something to them, you know, and I can give them something that maybe I've been through and just shed a little light on this process. So, it just kind of happened that way, but it's a role that, you know, I feel comfortable with.
Is the stuff you're saying coming naturally, or is that giving a lot of thought?
You got to give it some thought. No, absolutely. I mean, you don't want to just go up there and rant. You know, you want to give it some thought because, you know, you're talking to your peers, and at the same time, you're talking at a time where the games are bigger than ever. You know, so you put some thought into it, and you want to be able to tell them something that they can feel. You know, you don't want to just talk and cliche guys to death. You know, you want to give them something they can feel. So that's what I try to do.
Charles, you'll be a guy who obviously will have to cover. Dom just was in here talking about extending the play when it's Ben, because he might have two seconds, 3 seconds in the pocket, and then another two or three outside of the pocket.
Right.
But the other challenge, of course, is you might come free on a blitz at some time and get a shot at him to try and bring someone down that big. You can just try and describe how difficult it is, what the approach is to sack him.
Yeah, you know, and as a rusher, you know, being in that part of the game, when you get your shot, you know, you can't just go full speed and reckless. You know, you got to kind of break down and be ready to move either way with the quarterback, because it doesn't take much for a quarterback to just step 1 foot forward or step 1 foot back, and you'll miss him completely. You know, so you got to come, you know, with some sort of controlled aggression, you know, once you get to the quarterback. And when you get your hands on him, and you know, you can't let go, he's got to go down. So that'll be the task, not only for me, but, you know, for our defensive linemen and linebackers as well.
Charles,
Charles, were you shell-shocked by your last Super Bowl experience? And are you the type of person to use negative motivation to fuel you?
Yeah, I mean, you have to. That was, you know, it was a great experience, you know, playing that season, being a great season for that team and getting to the Super Bowl. And, you know, it was a whirlwind, you know. But we got into that game and we just, you know, we didn't show up. So I know, you know, having been once and that being, you know, 10 years ago or whatever it was, that they don't come very often, you know, for a lot of people. You know, some people never get there. The Pittsburgh Steelers, their team, been there a couple of times in the last 2 years. That doesn't happen for everybody, you know. So this is an opportunity that, you know, it's all or nothing, you know, and that's the way we're going to approach it.
Can you talk about your relationship with Joe Witt? As far as the scoring, as far as, you know, you being an established player, him kind of being a rookie coach, basically?
Yeah, you know, that's a situation you never really know how it's going to turn out, you know. I've played in this league a long time. I'm older than Joe, you know, and he's coming in, and now he's a younger guy, and he's your coach, you know. So that's always a tough situation for both parties involved. And, you know, for a veteran who's seen a lot, played in a lot of games, have a lot of experience, it's hard to listen to somebody who comes in who's younger than you. But the great thing about Joe is that, you know, for one, he's a coach's son, and those people who seem to always have an edge as far as knowing the game of football. And with him, he's probably the best X's and O's, you know, coach I've been around as far as secondary is concerned. And as I said last week, he's a great teacher as well, you know. So being able to, you know, teach a guy some things that, you know, maybe he didn't pick up on that's been in the league for a long time says a lot about him, his preparation, his knowledge of the game, and then him being able to get young guys to understand the game as well and play at the level that they're playing at. He's done a great job with our secondary, our corners, you know, as a whole. And a lot of what we've done as a secondary this year is in large part because of Joe Witt.
Is that pretty quick to get the trust like that? Or was it just kind of an ongoing process where you had to keep, you know, he had to prove himself several times to say, okay, this guy knows his stuff? Or is that where that kind of clicked?
Yeah, you know, I actually knew it pretty early, you know, when he was here, before he was actually our defensive back coach. You know, I sat and talked with him a few times when he was here under Bob Sanders, and you could tell he was a guy that knew a lot about the game. Now, how he was going to how it was going to be once he was the coach, you know, I had no idea about that. So that part was a process, but he's handled it, you know, as well as can be expected. And I have a lot of respect, you know, for Joe Witt.
Charles, which do you think was the more impressive performance by Pittsburgh's offense, building the lead against the Jets or come from behind against the Ravens?
Oh, man. I think it would be a come from behind. You know, I think it probably all of you guys and anybody else who watched, if you think if you see the Baltimore Ravens with a lead like that, they're not going to lose the game. You know, so for Pittsburgh to, you know, regroup or whatever they did that game, whatever adjustments that they made, I think that's probably the more impressive, you know, win for them, you know, against the Jets. You know, they got the lead and started to slip away there in the end. So I think a comeback victory against a team who's always known for defense is probably the more impressive victory.
Charles, look at what Shields and Rodney did Sunday, added to what you and Clay and Collins and Tremont Williams. Have you been on a defense with this many players?
No, man. You know, and every week it's somebody else. And it's somebody young, you know. The thing about the league now is that you come in as a young player, and you know there's no time to develop. You know, you're expected to play, and you're expected to play well, and nobody's going to make excuses for you, you know, if you don't play well. And so these guys, week in and week out,
They've just been making big plays for this team. And overall, you know, like you said, we have a ton of guys that can just make plays at any time, any point in the game.
Charles, being around you now since 06, we all kind of know how important winning Super Bowl is to one goal of the resume. But can you kind of articulate how obsessed you are with it, how it motivates you, how much you think about it, how it just impacts the kind of guy you are?
Yeah, I mean, around the clock. You know, I think about it around the clock. And I don't know how much more than that you can think about it, you know, but, you know, since we got into the playoffs and then going to Philly, beating Philly and then going to Atlanta and winning in Atlanta, you know, you get closer and closer. You just get a little bit more anxious, you know, each and every time. Then you go to Chicago. You got one more step before you get there. So the anxiety just continues to build and build, you know, in anticipation, you know, to make it to the Super Bowl. And then you win that game, and then you still got the game, you know. So, you know, you feel good about winning the NFC Championship. But that's not the end all, you know, so there's still some more to get to. But, I mean, it's an everyday, every minute, every second thought for myself.
After you didn't win it in Oakland and then things went the way they did in Oakland, did you wonder if it was always going to be the hole in your resume with everything else you'd accomplished, if you'd ever get the chance again?
You know, you just don't know. You know, I'm not going to say I didn't think I'd ever get there again, you know, but I just knew how hard it was. You know, I knew how hard the process was building that team, you know, the first few years I was in Oakland with Gruden and, you know, the guys they brought in, and finally getting, you know, to a playoff game and then a championship game and then finally the Super Bowl, you know, and then you don't win it. That was a tough pill to swallow. Then after that, the losing seasons, and I come to Green Bay. And you still really don't know what to expect, you know. We had a lot of talent around here when I first got here. Won some games, but couldn't get over the hump. Then we get to a championship game, and you lose it. And it's like, you know, wow, you know, this is hard getting here, you know, and you want to be able to get there and win it. And so I'm just very, very pleased and feel good about the situation now, and hopefully we can go down there and win it.